welcome in again to the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harlan. This is Brian Brown, your co-host. We are in the B.B. McKinney Studios in Nashville, Tennessee, high atop the Lifeway Tower.
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, we're on the top floor, aren't we?
That's exactly right.
But you know, there are none of the windows here at Lifeway open.
No, that's true.
Have you ever wondered?
I don't know why. You would think the first floor.
Well, maybe they don't want us to jump.
Well, that could be true. Now, Mike, would you say that the top floor here, the ninth floor, was your favorite floor?
No, I've got to say that the third floor.
Where we are. Where the music department is, of course.
Where our music department is. Most of our music, not all of our music team, but mainly because that's where the cafeteria is.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And we have a nice outside terrace.
We have a beautiful terrace that we can walk out and be outside and all that. It's about to get the time of year where that'd be fun.
Oh, it's going to be absolutely beautiful. Well, we could probably name our top five floors in the nine floors of the Lifeway building.
Probably could.
And I remember one time one of the late night shows, I think it was David Letterman that was famous for having his top 10 list.
Yes.
And one of my favorite ones, they did the top 10 numbers from 1 to 10. And then it was great. Like number 10 was like 7. It was ridiculous, but I loved it. But that's my intro into today's topic, Mike. You know, a great discussion starter, your top 5.
Yeah.
And
what's your top 5?
You can pick the topic.
Well, let me ask you this first.
Yeah.
Your top 5 football teams of all time. Who's your top one? Don't give me the 5. Just give me your favorite football team of all time. The year, the team. Who is
it? I have to pick a year.
Pick a year.
Oh, man. You know, I was 10.
I could probably guess who
It was certainly the Dallas Cowboys. I was living in Texas in the 1970s.
You're
and
the
so
Troy
70,
Aikman.
77. No. I'm going back to Roger Staubach. Yeah. I was 10 years old in 1977, the Super Bowl against the Denver Broncos, and Dallas slaughtered him. It was great. For me, that's it. They won in 72, but I was so young, I didn't remember that.
I was a big Cowboy fan growing up. I liked Roger Staubach, but when they fired Tom Landry.
Yeah, I know. Brian, I'm still mad about it.
I'm not over it.
I'm still upset about it.
That's okay.
But I'm still a Cowboy fan.
Okay.
Well, I can't help it.
You grew up in Texas.
I grew up in Texas in the 70s.
Yeah.
Where we couldn't beat the Steelers.
Yeah.
Lost to them twice by 4 points each game, but I've let that go. I don't dwell on
it
at this point in my life. So, yeah. So, top
five.
It's a great thing to get discussing. And I wanted to talk about our top 5 hymns. And, man, Mike, when we thought about this topic, and it's going to be great because our listeners are going to tell us that we're wrong. And we've picked the wrong top 5, and they've got their top 5, and they're going to fight for them.
So, you're asking me for my top 5 hymns?
I want your top 5. I'm going to share my top 5. And what, again... The point here is, how many times has a hymn, the lyrics to a hymn, come to mind in a time of joy, in a time of need, in a time of trouble? And I quote hymn lyrics as often as I do scripture, and of course, so many of them are based on some of the great scriptural truths.
Yep.
But I hope this will evoke amongst our listeners those hymns that come to them. When
and
they
why?
Need them.
Why is it? So
why is it in your top 5?
Should you give one and then me give one, or how are we going to do this?
I'll give one.
Okay, one and why, and then I'll give one and why.
Because this is appropriate. This is I'm going from 5 to 1, but you know, maybe not. I can put these in any order.
It's going. You know what's going to be interesting? I haven't seen your list. You haven't seen mine.
Yeah.
I wonder if we're going to have any overlap.
The first one I'll list, because we're 500-year anniversary was just celebrated, A Mighty Fortress. Is Our God
that
by
would make
Martin
a lot of people,
Luther.
That'd make a lot of people's list.
A hymn that survived 500 years makes my list automatically, but what a powerful... I remember, Mike, when I was a young man, I heard Steve Green sing this hymn a cappella,
beautiful.
His voice, doing a key change every verse.
Yes.
And then by the time he got to the end, he was just soaring.
It was amazing.
And the lyrics, though, to me are so profound.
Awesome.
I know ours is a translation of the original German, but the lyrics are in the English are just so profound.
And though this world with devils fill should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us.
It's hard to beat A Mighty Fortress.
So that's the first one.
All right, so the first one I'm going to mention was written by the namesake of this studio,
B.B. McKinney.
Benjamin Bayless McKinney,
yes.
The first director of the church music department, the editor of the Broadman Hymnal. And in the Broadman, this hymn was introduced. And it's always been one of my favorites, but it recently has become more of my favorite because of a arrangement of it that Travis Cottrell did for us last year. That is stunning. It just wipes me out. I cry every time I hear it. Now, I had the opportunity recently to write an article for Facts and Trends about the origin of this particular hymn, and I love the story.
Yeah.
B.B. McKinney was leading worship at a conference in Oklahoma at the great Falls Creek Conference Center. As a matter of fact, the name of this tune is Falls Creek because that's where he was when he wrote it. But the speaker of the conference was a missionary who was home on furlough, and they were meeting for lunch, and the missionary had just learned that through a medical exam, physical exam, he had failed his physical, and they had found a medical situation that was going to prohibit him from going back to the mission field where he had been for many, many years, where all of his ministry had been and family and all that, farm mission field. But the International Mission Board was decommissioning this missionary because he failed the physical.
Yeah.
And so he had just told BB that at lunch, and BB said, "Well, what are you going to do?" And the missionary replied, "Well, I don't know, but wherever he leads, I'll go."
That's great.
And a songwriter, when a songwriter hears a phrase like that, BB couldn't get back to his room fast enough. And this literally, this is the story. He goes back to his room where he was staying. He wrote that hymn that afternoon. He sang it that night. And, of course, we still sing it to this very day. Yeah. And what a tremendous message it has. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I love it.
All right. So Mike and I are doing our top five hymns. And I did A Mighty Fortress. He did Wherever He Leads, I'll Go. My next one, When I Survey.
Oh, Isaac Watt. See, that's not even fair.
Yeah.
Okay, can I put that one on mine? I don't have it here, but golly. Yeah.
What a lyric, Mike. I will never forget. You know, I used to read the vivid biblical descriptions of the crucifixion. And the one that I always was confused, you know, again, and there's been great studies done on the physiology of what happened to Christ on the cross. But they talk about water and blood flowing from the wound. And for Isaac Watts, the lyricist, to say, "See from his head, his hands, his feet, what I had read is water and blood." He wrote, "Sorrow and love flow mingled
down." Isn't that something?
Oh, the beautiful poetry.
Yeah, Isaac Watts, a preacher who was writing hymns.
Yeah.
You know, Brian, I'm sure you recall this, but Luke Garrett and I actually wrote a new melody to that.
I know it well, and it's fantastic.
And it's an anthem here at Lifeway. And I'm as proud of that. Of course, we didn't write a single word of it, but we set it to a different melody.
And it's beautiful.
And thank you. I appreciate that. Beautiful. But I did not have that in my top five, but it would belong there because what a profound hymn.
Yeah, absolutely.
Demands my soul, my life, my all.
Woo!
Wow, that's pretty good.
Amen, brother.
All right. Number two for me will be Grace Greater Than All Our Sin.
Ooh.
Marvelous grace of our loving
of
Lord.
Our loving,
A profound text, a beautiful melody.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to that chorus, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
coming up that same thought.
Yeah. Can't hardly
powerful,
beat that.
Powerful. Yeah.
All right, that's my second.
Oh, that's good. All right, we're doing our top five. Mike Harlan, Brian Brown's top five favorite hymns. My third in this list, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Oh, man.
Mike, just that we sang it the other day. We were celebrating the 10-year anniversary of the hymnal, yeah. And somebody called out in the little room where we were having this celebration, this hymn, and we sang it together. Morning by morning, you know that verse,
yes.
Mercies are new every morning. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
There it is.
All I have needed, thy hand has provided. A fantastic hymn based on a scriptural truth and a beautiful melody and a soaring chorus. I just love it.
And you know what? The language of that hymn, you're talking about great is thy faithfulness.
Yeah.
We don't talk that way, but that language doesn't bother anybody that sings that song. It would feel funny to us to sing great is your faithfulness.
Yeah. You know what?
It just is appropriate.
I've got all, my library at home, I've got all the works of Shakespeare, and it doesn't bother me at all. You know? And so if I can read Shakespeare and appreciate that, I can certainly sing great is thy faithfulness.
All right. My third one is a shout out to my mom.
Okay.
Martha Harland, she listened to my podcast, by the way.
Good.
So I hope when this airs, it will be at a time when I've talked to her, because she gets mad at me if I don't call her very often. But I have heard my mom say for years, and my mom sang alto in the choir when I was growing up. You know, she was in the high school band. She's a good little alto, good singer.
Right.
We kids, she tells me, long before I came along, she was the student conductor of the high school band. So
impressive.
She says, you're not the only conductor in this family, buddy. I was one before you even existed. But anyway, this would be my mom's favorite hymn. At least for years, she has said it is. And if it's my mom's favorite, it's got to make my list too. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Wow.
All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry
everything. Oh,
we often for. All right, so
I'm raising my hand. They can't see it, but
why this hymn is fresh on my mind.
Yeah.
That same article when I was talking about the origin of Wherever He Leads I Go I've also done some research and found out the story of this song, this hymn. And the person that wrote it went through two unbelievable tragedies over the course of a couple of decades. A native Irishman just one day before his wedding, his scheduled wedding, he was riding out by horseback to meet his fiancée, to escort her back to the place where they were going to be married the very next day. But he did not meet her on the way. He found her. Mm. Something apparently had happened. The horse was spooked, and she had been thrown, and the horse had lost its balance, and they had fallen over into a creek bed off the way. And tragically, she was killed. And this gentleman, the writer of this great text, found her the day before their wedding. Well,
wow.
He moves to Canada to kind of restart his life. He'd been in Canada. He had a reputation in that community of being this loving, kind person that would give, was a very generous person. He fell in love again with another beautiful young lady. And just weeks before that wedding, she got a catastrophic illness and died.
Wow.
So the second fiancé, over the course of like 10 or 12 years, dead right before the wedding, He writes a letter to his mother, who is still back in Ireland, who is in failing health as well. In the letter, he talks about, but what a friend I have found in Jesus. And that whole lyric was written from the heart of this guy whose heart has just been broken twice. It was 10 years later before a musician in New York ran across this lyric. It had been published in a magazine as a poem, and he ran across the poem and he wrote the melody that he was a lawyer, as a matter of fact, but he also wrote music. And this lawyer set this poem to music, and it is "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
Needless pain we
bear. I know, all because we're not caring. And he wrote that from that broken place of loss. So I love it.
Well, Mike, we're doing our top five hymns, and that leads me right to my next one, and it may be on your list as well, and that is the famous hymn. And, of course, the hymn story is famous. You could recount it as well, the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul."
Well, that's got one of the timeless stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of loss.
And "It Is Well With My Soul," written at the loss of the daughters of the writer Horatio Spafford.
At sea.
Yeah, and he gets a cable from his wife,
correct,
who's across the pond, and says, "Survived alone," because she knew he would have known about the shipwreck. And they lost all of their kids, their daughters. And he had actually had another child that had died earlier.
Right.
So, and this guy writes, "When peace like a river."
Yeah, he came across. He's going across, right?
He's going
and
across.
Asked the captain to stop the ship where that happened, where his daughters were killed.
It is well. It is well
with
my soul.
When peace like a river.
Let me show you how timeless a song like that is. You and I had the privilege yesterday to go to a special release party of an artist that has a Christian record that's coming out.
Yeah.
And that's one of the cool things we get to do. We get invited to some of those things here in Nashville.
Super cool.
And the artist, an iconic pop star, emerging pop star, Tori Kelly.
Yep.
She has a Christian record coming. And by the way, this is not a pop star that got bored and just wanted to do a Christian record. This is a Christian that wanted to do a Christian record.
Amen.
She's got an authentic faith, and what a testimony she gave yesterday. And she has a new song on that record called "It Is Well" that is based off this hymn, and it's stunning.
Absolutely.
I can't wait for people to hear that.
Yeah.
So that
and it should be out by the time this airs.
Yeah.
I would think that album will be released.
That message, the message of that hymn is timeless and has encouraged so many for so long.
Absolutely powerful. Anyone who's ever had to sing in a service knows that the message of that song is one that resonates over the years. Okay, I want to do a quick recap before we get to our fifth ones, because what we're doing, for those listening to the Worship Life podcast, we're doing our top five favorite hymns. And so, Mike, you've listed three so far. Is that all? No, four. Three.
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't done your fourth yet.
Yeah,
your fourth.
I've got two more.
Oh, you've got two more. So that's right. All right,
so,
do your fourth and then I'll recap.
All right, so here's one I want to talk about, my buddy Luke Garrett.
Mm.
Man, do I miss that guy.
Yeah, me too.
A lot of our listeners remember Luke, the artist, the singer. A lot of people that know me know that he was my principal collaborator for 20 years. And I don't even know how many songs we've written. I counted one time and I quit counting at about 200.
Wow.
We just wrote a lot of songs together, and some of them were actually okay. Some of them nobody ever heard but me and him, but that's okay. But this hymn changed for me when Luke died. It was always special to me, but when Luke passed away, and from my view, very prematurely and unexpectedly.
Yes.
I actually sang a piece of this at his funeral in just tribute to him. And the reason this was so special to me is because I saw him close many concerts this way. he would finish his last song. Maybe it was Arise or one of his big songs, All Praise Rising, or whatever his big song might be. And then Luke would just go into this. He'd go, "Oh, land of rest, for thee I sigh. When will the moment come?" And he would just a cappella sing that stanza. "When we will lay our armor by and be forever home. We'll work till Jesus comes." Ooh. And he would sing that chorus. Then he would get the congregation singing it.
Yeah.
And in classic Luke style, while the congregation was singing it, he would ease off the stage. That was his way of saying, "Don't end this night with a standing ovation for me." Mm. That's not what the point was. He would ease off that stage while the congregation is singing it. And we're singing that the strains of "We'll Work Till Jesus Comes." And when Luke passed away, and I sang at his memorial service, I sang a couple of songs that he and I had written together. And but before I left the stage, I sang that and a cappella and walked off the stage the way he would have. And here's what I remember. The reason that song, that hymn, will always be special to me from now on is when God called him home, he had worked until Jesus came for him.
Yeah.
And it's now an aspiration of mine that, inspired by his life, I want to live the rest of my life that way too.
Yeah.
So that when he calls and when he comes for me, whether it's in his return or in my homegoing, I want to work for him until then.
Yeah.
And I've sung it at other funerals since then. And remember a gentleman in our church, Gerald Stowe, a very distinguished retired pastor here in Middle Tennessee. I sang it at his bedside just moments before he died. And that hymn will always have that special place for me.
Amen. All right. Before we get to our last one, I'm going to recap. We're doing the top five favorite hymns, Brian Brown, Mike Harland, on the Worship Life podcast with Mike Harland. So my first four: A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, Great Is Thy Faithfulness, It Is Well With My Soul.
So what's your fifth one, Brian?
Well,
drum roll.
Wait, I'm going to do my car. You want me to do my fifth one?
Then
do your four.
Don't you think I should go last?
I do. It is the Worship Life podcast with Mike Harland.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
The last one, and this won't surprise you,
okay,
because it was written by a Nazarene.
Oh, here we go.
But my favorite hymn of
Wonderful.
All time, and it's not even close.
Wait, come on.
Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
I knew it. I love that one, too.
And I tell you, what I love about it, I love it, of course, musically. I miss the days. You know, when I grew up, we were happy about being a Christian. We didn't cry about it all the time. And we were celebratory, and we sang march songs, and we sang songs about, we were warriors, and we were in a battle, and we were Christians in the battlefield. And this song certainly evokes that march feel.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes people get caught up in that melody and the counter melody that the altos sing that's so beautiful.
They think it's too hard. Hard, I guess.
But they miss the lyrics.
Oh, it's
and
great.
And listen, the end of that chorus says, "All sufficient grace for even me."
Yep.
"Broader than the scope of my transgression."
It's
"Greater
yeah.
far than all my sin and shame. Magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise his name." It's just one of my favorite hymns.
Tell you, I wasn't raised Nazarene like you, but that was written by our brother
Haldor Lillius.
Yeah, exactly. And I got to tell you, it's one of my favorites too. I didn't have it on my top five, but if you've never heard that hymn sung by a room full of singers,
oh my goodness,
that are getting after it, man, you're talking about a revival service.
And
Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Man,
I didn't put
amazing.
This hymn on my list, but what I used to do as minister of music, you probably did too. That hymn traditionally is in the key of C, and also in the key of C is B.B. McKinney's "Have Faith in God."
Yeah,
you roll those two together.
My
goodness!
Yeah,
if a preacher can't preach after that, he just can't preach.
Or as some people would say, if that doesn't light your fire,
Your wood.
Your wood is wet.
Your wood is wet.
All right, so my last one.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how old I was when this became my favorite.
Now, wait a second. Before you do it,
okay,
I recap my top four, and then I gave you my number one.
Right,
I'm
going to
do that for
mine.
You, too.
Okay, well, thank you.
Mike Harland's top four, and he's getting to his top five. "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go," another great B.B. McKinney tune. "Grace, Grace, Grace That Is Greater Than All Our Sins."
Yes.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Your list is pretty good, Mike. I got to tell you.
Thank you.
And then we'll work till Jesus comes. Yeah. And then now, drum
Number
roll,
five.
Please.
All right. So I grew up in a church, Brian, that we would do hymn sings. I don't know how often. I don't know if it was
every fifth Sunday.
I don't know if it was a pattern like that. I don't remember that. But it wasn't uncommon at all for us to take a Sunday night service and call out the numbers. Just
sure.
Call them out. Call them out.
Man, I miss those days.
And we would sing them over and over. As a matter of fact, Dennis Worley at our church there at Brentwood Baptist, about once or twice a year, we'll go into the chapel with the choir. And we'll do this.
Good
and,
for you,
and
Dennis
it's
Worley.
Amazing in the chapel to sing, do a hymn sing. By the way, the new Baptist hymnal is in that chapel. But anyway,
okay.
And we would do that. And very early in my life, I don't know if I was 13, 14, 15 years old, I decided this was going to be my hymn. And every time our church did one of those, my hand would
Mike
go
Mike Harlan
up,
called it out.
And this was the one I called out. My Jesus, I love thee.
That's so good.
And all my life, I mean, all of my adult life, really, from the time I was 12, 13, 14 years old, that's been the answer to this question for me. What is
good.
Your favorite hymn? And you know what? There were probably a lot of years in between there when I would just say it as a default answer. But as I'm getting older, it's becoming dearer and dearer to me still. It just talks about that personal expression to my Savior who redeemed me from my sin in mansions of glory. I'm going to see him one of these days, and forever I'm going to sing it.
Yeah.
If ever I love
if
thee,
ever,
my Jesus, tis now.
Sure.
And it's a beautiful melody. It's simple to sing, and it's been my top hymn for a long, long time.
Amen. Well, we want to hear from you. So email us, worship@lifeway.com. I'm sure some of you are shouting hymn titles right now. So tell us not just what your favorite hymns are. Give us your top five, but also why. We want to hear the story behind the song and your
Can
story
I suggest
behind the song.
A good one for the
next? Sure.
Why don't we do a top five modern hymn?
Oh, I thought of that,
Because there's several I didn't go to here that are more current, and
absolutely.
that would have been fun to do.
I'm already got four in my head. So, yeah, the next time we do one of these top five lists. But email us, worship@lifeway.com, or join us at the worshiplife.com site and let us know your top five list. And let's talk about these great hymns and the great messages they contain. Remember, we're going to do a top five modern later, so don't do that. Let's do our top five more traditional hymns. And we'll have another time for you to weigh in on the modern hymns, because we certainly don't want to forget that. Also, let us know, as always, how we can pray for you, pray for your church, your ministry, your family. We gather at Lifeway Worship as a team, and we want to pray for you specifically. So let us know how we can do that. Let others know about the Worship Life podcast with Mike Harlan so they can join the discussion about this important topic. Until next time, for Mike Harlan, this is Brian Brown saying thanks for joining us on the Worship Life podcast. We look forward to being back together with you again very soon. Thank you.